What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. Feeling 1-0 today. Although I will say, trending right now is Alyssa Milano. Alyssa Milano is trending right now. Do I dare click on this?
Scared?
Well, yeah, like whenever someone, you know, you get to my age, someone's trending, you immediately think the worst, right? So I'm going to find out what this is. I'll report back.
Well, maybe just people are just watching Charmed or whatever that TV show is called.
Or Who's the Boss.
Or Who's the Boss.
Who's the Boss reruns.
Yep.
Okay. It doesn't seem like she's dead, so that's good.
She seems to be still alive, yes.
All is well. I still don't really get why she's trending, but whatever. How you guys doing?
We're really good. Geezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Morning. Doing well. Joe, you know, you probably have a notification that or she's trending, maybe because you follow her or you have people that conversate about her on the Twitter sphere, possibly.
I mean, I don't even know that I follow her. I don't think I do follow her.
His crush.
I'll check that. But no, it's not like I'm like part of a fan club, but I am.
You get emails?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, maybe I should follow her.
Maybe.
There you go. She says her Twitter account, 3.3 million followers. All right, I'm going to follow her right now. See? Boom. 3.3 million and one
That's
followers
right.
for you, Alyssa.
Congratulations. It's a big day for her on the program. Ran into Karski over the weekend in Pittsburgh.
That's wild.
He sends his regards. Good. He said he really enjoyed the show Friday.
Oh, did he? Good.
That's what he said.
Great. Glad he did.
That's not a rant. What are you calling that a rant?
Like, dude, you say that every time. Shut up. I actually lost my temper.
I know. I need to go back and view this.
Katie texted me and said, like she's like, you know, PK is annoying. What's wrong with you? And why did you yell at Nick? And I'm like, did I yell at Nick? I don't even remember yelling at Nick.
Yeah, you even apologized in the moment, too.
But did I did apologize in the moment.
It was more of like,
God,
you were
that
first.
Mad? You don't remember?
He was frustrated that, yeah, he was so angry at the situation that like half an hour later or less, Katie texted him. And then he's like, hey, Nick.
Oh, it was right after.
It was like, no, it was during a break. And you were like, hey, Katie texted. She wanted me to tell you that I'm sorry.
I think that was me just telling you later, but it was pretty much instantaneous. And I was still simmering.
Probably.
But yeah, whatever I said to you, I'm sorry.
It wasn't anything outrageous.
I wanted to direct all my rage to PK, but if I directed any more rage, there would have been an FCC violation. So I decided to just walk away.
Let me read a dictionary definition of a rant. It's not a rant.
Okay. Okay, PK.
He thought it was really good Friday night.
Yeah, so he was just, like, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, he was great. Joe was great today. Joe went really well. Had a great time.
Here was the good. Best part. Yeah, I never want to hear that or see it. You can go back and look at it if you want.
I will.
It probably will be uncomfortable. It'd be uncomfortable for me to watch. Because I seriously was like, dude, you've said that 100 times now. But that's what he does.
Maybe I should leave more often.
That's what he does to everybody. You know, it's like he just keeps picking and picking and picking and just saying the same thing over and over and over again.
And that's why he ends up in altercations. I threw the question out there last week. See, some of these media altercations, how many don't involve Kuharski? Yeah. Not very many.
Yeah.
The percentage is high.
Common denominator, for sure. Yeah. Pittsburgh was good, though.
Pittsburgh was very good. PNC Park, awesome. Really, really big fan of PNC Park. Saw your boy Jim Leland get inducted into the Pirates Hall of Fame.
So awesome.
Awesome. Barry Bonds got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
And were they both there?
Yeah.
And they were, like, hanging together?
Well, they were, like, hugging. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Leland have a dart?
Leland did not have a dart that I saw.
Oh, man.
But.
You know, after the ceremony, he had a hell of a dart.
I'm sure he did. he was you know, he got up there and wanted no part of the Hall of Fame speech. You could tell he was trying to get out of there as quickly as humanly possible. He's like, I love Pittsburgh because I have friends at the golf course, I have friends at the ball field, and I have friends at the gas station, and walked away. I was like, all right, Jim, I'm glad you got friends everywhere. Good.
Wow. Okay.
But good stuff. PNC Park, awesome. Yes. And I've always said this about Pittsburgh. It's my first time actually going. I really like that all the sports teams have the same color. A very underrated part of this. All black and gold, which, as a city, I respect. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I it does work out well for them. Is there any other city that has that?
I don't know. I mean, no. I mean, I think some have multiple teams.
Like the
that
Mariners
have
and Seahawks are
similar.
Similar, I guess.
Right.
And I guess the Supersonics were kind of, it's like the blue, cool colors, the blue-green kind of feel up
like
there.
The Capitals and the Nationals have similar colors, and the Wizards, but then the
Commanders
ruin it.
Yeah. I think that's a cool thing. If Nashville did it, would it be Titans colors or Preds colors? Which would win out? Or Nashville SC colors?
Good question. I mean, I'm kind of partial to the yellow and blue, but that's just me. If you were going old Tennessee Oilers jersey, then I would recommend everybody adopting that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, go with the Oilers look and then everybody follow suit. Just totally rip off Houston altogether.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like it.
I think it'd be great. The Titans, undefeated in the preseason, baby. They finished 3-0 with a win in New Orleans yesterday. We're going to be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up here in about 8 minutes or so, live from the airport in New Orleans.
New Orleans airport. Got to get home.
So he is obviously coming off of broadcasting the game yesterday. The Titans win again. They're undefeated in the preseason, so take that for whatever it's worth at this point. But the starters did get in there yesterday on the offensive side of the ball. Looked pretty good. We're going to get more into that a little bit later in the hour, specifically the offense. Some defensive starters in there. I thought Tavondre Sweat made some pretty loud plays early in the game yesterday as well. Overall, what did you make of what you saw from the Titans in the preseason finale yesterday in New Orleans?
Well, are the Titans going to be the new Ravens? They're gonna. Is it Brian Callahan, the new John Harbaugh? It's winning those preseason games. Yeah, you know, it's fun for the guys involved want to win, and you know they're rooting on the guys who are playing, like basically the third stringers playing against third stringers at the ends of these games, typically, but. I thought the big takeaways from that game, first of all, it was a good, and I know we're going to get more into this, but it was a good day for the first team offense, and I think that just a good confidence builder. The first team offensive line, it's backups, but you know what? I liked what I saw. I mean, they look like they're starting to become a professional offensive line, and I just thought there were a lot of – it was really almost all good and very little bad, and so you just – you can't read too much into it, but it was a good sign. And like you said, Sweat. I also thought, I thought Rudolph was really good, and I think Rudolph's a nice signing at QB2. You know,
he's looked good in the preseason.
I don't know why anybody complained about that at all, based on his track record. But he has demonstrated he's a guy who can come in and start a football game in the NFL and win it for you potentially. And then good for Malik Willis. You know, I think that's the best play he's ever made in a Titans uniform was the second touchdown to Bryce Oliver, which was pocket collapsing, sidestep, eyes staying downfield, rips one in the end zone. And then, you know, he also threw the perfect fade earlier to Oliver, who was a little bit of a camp hero, Bryce Oliver. But it was good. It was good for Willis to put that on film. And then, you know, he's going to be one of the most interesting, I think, decisions here coming up for the Titans this week. But all in all, you saw a lot of good. I didn't see a lot of bad. Probably the worst part of the day was that Chance Campbell gets hurt, and that's just – and again,
he
that's a guy who
–
I know, and that's the thing. When a guy reacts the way he did, you do worry a little bit because that guy has had serious injuries, and that guy's a player. That guy's good. I think he's linebacker 3. Or he was going to be. So hopefully for him and the Titans, it's nothing too serious. But that was probably the most – I mean, obviously there's been other injuries like Hopkins is nowhere to be found for a while now. And Awuzie. We've gone with
Awuzie.
Awuzie. Yeah. Is, you know, has been out. But, I mean, that might be the worst injury in real time in camp?
Bryce Oliver, as you mentioned, big day yesterday, 2 touchdowns from Malik Willis. David Martin Robinson, 4 catches for 45 yards. That's going to be interesting at tight end to see what they do there. You know, Vinette was out there with the starters yesterday on the first drive making some catches. So what does all that mean? Going to be interesting to see. And, you know, Jabari Small ran the ball well yesterday, 10 carries, 64 yards. Now, I don't know that he's really got a chance to make the team, but showed well for himself running the football in the preseason.
Yeah, can't fumble it like that.
Nope.
Yeah, he looked good. Running back's interesting because, to me, Hassan Haskins just has to be indispensable on special teams. Julius Chestnut's a better running back than him.
Yeah.
But maybe he is. Maybe Haskins is, and that's going to be the difference. Yeah, Small seems like a good practice squad candidate, along with some of these receivers.
Odukoya chasing folks down on a kick six.
Yeah.
That was 1 yard away from being a 109-yard return
yeah,
for a touchdown.
Yeah, but the other Nacua. Now, that was a heck of a play by Odukoya. And actually, Nicholas Petitfrere wasn't going to make the play, but, boy, did he run. I mean, he ran the whole field.
He's ready to go.
Yeah,
so NWI gives you everything he's got, man. He's ready to go at all times.
That's MPF.
Oh, yeah, NPF.
But you're right. But you're not wrong. What you just said is accurate.
I don't know why I said NWI. It always comes back to NWI with this group, baby. That's what we know.
It does. NWI and MPF on the same offense, that's almost PT. Unfair to the NFL. No, we do not say PT.
We will not go.
Makes no sense at all.
We will not go PT. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running today. The Titans win 30-27. By the way, anytime we see the Titans score 30 points, I'll take it. Hadn't seen a whole lot of that lately.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Corey Curtis, who was calling the game yesterday down in New Orleans, will join us live from the New Orleans airport coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are actually going to push Corey Curtis back about 15 more minutes. He is in the shuttle at the airport.
Oh, well, wow. That might be fun. That's probably the right move.
That's also my fault, too. I got my coffee, and I was focused on that, so my bad.
It's your fault
He's in the shuttle?
Do what now?
It's your fault he's in the shuttle?
No, that he's late. Okay. That he's not on the phone now. Because Joe wanted him on the shuttle, but he should have been here anyway.
So. Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll
get mad at you again.
Corey Curtis coming up at 6:30. Hopefully off the shuttle in the terminal.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
So we can hear the loud
speaker
noises
in the background.
Yeah. It's always good. Airport interviews are awesome.
Get his thoughts on all that. Will Levis and the Titans offense looking pretty good again yesterday. Marching right down the field, scoring a touchdown. Next drive, I think they ended up with a field goal on that drive. So, I mean, based on the sample size in the actual preseason games, you have 2 touchdown drives for that group against San Francisco. They did not play in the Seattle game. And then a pretty good showing yesterday from the Titans' offensive starters in the actual preseason games itself. So we've talked a lot about practices and how they've looked in practice and the joint practices against Seattle. But based on the actual football games that we've seen in the preseason, the starting offense has looked pretty good and has been very productive. Now, granted, they played against San Francisco's backups.
All against backups, yes.
And they played against New Orleans' backups. So my question is, does it actually mean anything? Is there anything that we take away from this when you're playing against NFL defenses that are not going to be starting caliber NFL defenses when the first game rolls around? The Titans can only control who they play. They can't control who the other team plays. So does it actually mean anything, what we've seen from the starting offense in the games to this point?
It's good to get the reps together and build some confidence. I mean, like, I thought Levis, like, you see Levis, give that guy time to just stand there and scan the field. You know, he's gonna make some throws. Ridley's a dynamic playmaker. Boyd is gonna make a lot of plays this year. And we saw guys out there making plays who I think are gonna be good. I know that already Brian Baldinger he absolutely loves the Skoronski Latham. I mean, that's going to be his, like, love language, I think, in the next year's NFL. He's already put out some clips of those guys combo blocking people into oblivion. Yep. So I mean, there's some good stuff in there. There's some good football players in there doing some good football things, and it's a confidence builder. But again, when they've played against starting defenses, the Titans starting defense, it's been more L's than dubs for them. And then I would say the same was true when they went against Seattle and their starters. And Seattle, again, very good corners. Titans didn't have one of their best receivers. But against the backups, and the good thing is this was definitely a more dominant performance against backups than the Niners.
Yes.
I mean, you know, one of those touchdown drives was a 15-yard, 7-play drive, you know. So I thought that it looked like a team, some people who had improved through camp yesterday. And you should dominate backups. And they did. So they did what you're supposed to do. Like, you know, I saw this tweet. Oh, I got to find this tweet. You know, it's like the overreaction thing can happen both ways, and someone has to do it. But I know you're going to yell at Willie later. We're trying to expand our ripping on coworkers enterprise.
Yeah, we are.
So Big Joe yesterday during the Titans, you know, whatever, after one of their TDs, he's like, well done, at Titans. He's like Gaharsky tagging people. Quote, then he writes out, quote, but at practice, Levis was terrible and blah, 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 end quote. Hashtag experts.
Experts.
Take the first team out. See you in Chicago. I'm like, yes. I mean, look, again, they played well. Good for them. They dominated. They're supposed to dominate. But again, they're playing backups. Let's you know, keep it in perspective. But it's the same thing, keeping it in perspective of when, you know, Levis is struggling in practice or whatever. It's like, well, you know, I have not been overly concerned. And I'm sitting here watching him right now on ESPN highlights. I'm not overly like, oh my gosh. I will say they just showed the Boyd throw. I will say, if we want to nitpick Levis, a tick faster on that and put it on him instead of loft it, and he can turn up maybe.
There's nobody within 7 yards of him.
You know, like maybe so, yeah, maybe that. But, you know, the throw to Ridley, I mean, and they had their screen game going yesterday. Yeah. It is funny because a couple times in that game, I really liked the play calls, and I'm like, you know. It's just still a preseason game, but it's like, I like that little 4th-and-1 play. I like that little drop to Pollard, little play action, fake to Pollard, then you throw it to him. I like that. So maybe we saw a little bit of crafty play calling that's going to come. But again, it's just like 2 weeks from, yeah, there it is. They just showed it. That's a nice little play. You know, 7-for-8, 118. You can't argue with that with Levis. Getting a Ridley play in, that's good. But 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Then we'll know.
Yes.
But again, even then, they might go out and stink in Chicago, and then they might be way better a month from then.
Well, I'll put it this way. It's good to see. Like, it would be – it's way better than us coming here today and saying, man, the Titans offense really struggled against those Saints backups.
Exactly.
So, for sure, they did what they were supposed to do, and they played well against a unit that is not a starting-level unit in the National Football League. So, that's great. Does it actually mean anything at the end of the day? My answer is no. Like, we'll see it in the regular season. Like, how are they against Chicago when, you know, Kevin Byard's lurking around back there and Montez Sweat's trying to put Will Levis on his back? Like, what does that look like? How does the offensive line block there? I will say, though, to that standpoint, and I get it, they're not playing starting players, but the offensive line against San Francisco I thought looked pretty good. And yesterday they looked great in that game against New Orleans. So it's positive. It's good to see. And we'll see if that continues to translate coming up in week 1. Again, it's better than the alternative. I would not, if you're a Titans fan, though, like have any grand takeaways because of the offensive performance in these first two preseason, or in the two preseason games they got in, that the Titans offense is ready to score 45 points per game as the season starts here. Like, it's take it with a grain of salt, I guess is what I'm saying here. Yeah. It's better than the alternative. I don't know that it necessarily means the Titans are on the verge of becoming an offensive juggernaut, but it's good to see. It's good to see them play well.
Look, the thing is, and Brian Callahan said this to the assembled press yesterday in New Orleans, you know, basically they know they're starting offensive line. You know, I saw Mike Hernan tweet this, and he's right. When the backup offensive line came in, you saw a big difference. I mean, you saw like a huge step back, and that's even with the Saints putting more backups in the game, right? Starting offensive line, Latham's going to be good.
Yep.
Skronsky's powerful. I think for the most part, Petit Frere has looked fine. And maybe so you got Petit Frere and Radins, and they kind of have their reboot of their careers. You got the new center in there. Left side could be dynamic. And you got Bill Callahan, who, by the way, I wrote 3,200 words about today at theathletic.com. Check that out. No, I mean, like I look at that yesterday and not overreacting because, let's see. Let's see when the Bears are bringing – they got their main guys and they're bringing the house. But I think we've seen progress. I think we've seen some work from the best offensive line coach in the game starting to really show itself. Yep. And they know their five, and that's such a big part of an offensive line is, like, there's no question who their five are.
Yep.
So now you got to keep them healthy. That's one of the next things. But if I had to take one area of the team away from yesterday and be like, you can see it, you can see progress, I would go there.
Good to see Will Levis on the reverse. I think totally go against every instinct he's ever had and not make contact with somebody in a preseason game trying to be the lead blocker out there.
Good
to see. He just kind of backed off, and I was like, I was on the plane watching this coming back home, and I was like, hey, Will, way to go, Will. Good job. Don't get yourself killed the preseason game. Nice job. Way to go.
But you know he could have blasted someone. That's the thing.
I mean, the guy that the guy that he did not block, I mean, definitely just came back there and wrecked the play. But in the regular season, he would have tried to be like Lorenzo Neal out there.
So don't call that play in the regular season. Let's not do that.
Tyjae Spears. Just maybe stay on the ground in the preseason. That was
fun play, but
quite
yeah,
the play too.
Fun play.
Tried to hurt the entire defense.
He's back home in Louisiana. Yeah, that ended up being one of those where he actually kind of had a soft landing. Luckily, he just sort of like fell on the bodies. But yeah, save that for real football.
Chuck says, yes, it means something when we watched Titans offense in the past look really bad in the preseason. We were told not to worry about it, only to watch them look really bad in the regular season. Well, I don't know if the Titans' offense looked really bad in the preseason because they didn't play any of the starters.
Exactly. Like, they didn't play. So, again, if that's – you know what? I'd be a fearful coach, and I wouldn't do what they did yesterday. But, hey, maybe it will. Maybe it'll make a difference for them to have a few series in a preseason game. That you would think that'd be some level of confidence builder, even though they know who they played against.
You're going to have to help me with this one. Ben on the text line. Many fans are concerned about Rand wearing green on game day. Why would he welcome that scrutiny? What are we talking about? Did he wear, like, green clothes?
Yeah, he had, like, a green sweatshirt on. He did the interview, everybody. It's okay. Good. He did the interview. But why would they be concerned about him wearing green on game day?
Is it because it's not Titans colors?
Who would that even be in the NFL? Is he
Packers?
Showing these emissions? Yeah,
Eagles.
Packers. Yeah, Packers or Eagles? Okay. Yeah, help us out, Ben. Don't get it.
Lance on the text line says, you throw that ball within 5 yards of Martin Robinson, he's going to catch it.
DMR, baby.
Tell you what, that's going to be interesting.
I know.
You're going to see some cuts today, and they've got to have the 53 by, I believe, Tuesday at 3 local time, I believe, is when it's got to be done. So, I mean, all the cuts are coming around the league in the next 2 days here. Some have already started because they finished their games up on either Friday or Saturday or Thursday. So you've already started to see some, but you're going to see a lot of cuts coming today. And then, of course, tomorrow they've got to have it in by tomorrow afternoon. So got a lot of interesting decisions coming up in a short amount of time for the Titans.
Yeah, a lot of teams have already put out like 20 guys, 15, yeah. 20 guys at their cuts. So maybe we'll see some of that today.
615-737-1025. Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. I believe he has escaped the shuttle bus at the New Orleans terminal. He thought he was getting kidnapped for a moment. I'm just reading what he told me. So I think he's okay, ready to go now. We'll get to him coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Scheduled to be joined by Corey Curtis here in just a second. Talking all things Titans. So we'll hopefully get in contact with him.
Getting patted down
point.
Now.
Is Corey being pursued while we're there?
Is Corey trying to smuggle Cajun food back or something?
Maybe. Beignets?
A saxophone? Like, what's going on, Corey? Beignets.
A lot of food down there.
There is a lot of food down there. Dodge the bullet. I'd be 5 pounds heavier right now.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Ben, clarifying the Rand Carthon stuff, says many fans just want him in team colors, I guess. I don't care either way. I'd wear a suit if I wasn't in team colors. This from Ben on the text line. I didn't know this was a thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Rand Carthon wearing green.
I mean, I guess typically suits wear suits, right? But it's a preseason game, so he was just kind of in a more casual green sweatshirt. Like, Rand, why aren't you in a Derrick Henry jersey? We had that bad discussion with Karski, too, the adults wearing, jerseys discussion the other day.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Kuharski is not a fan of adults wearing jerseys.
Nah, I think you've got it pegged. Okay. You've got it pegged pretty good there.
That would be my guess. Liam says, it's not nothing, but it's not everything. It's something. I can't wait for real football. Talking about the Titans offense in the game against New Orleans.
That's pretty well put.
I would agree.
Right. Yeah, it's not nothing, of course. All of it's something. It's all work to try to get better. And again, there's some good stuff on there. They made some plays. They looked physical. Going to keep saying it. One thing that I think you're going to see is I think you're going to see the Titans able to impose themselves on some teams and run the football. And you should be excited about that.
Pollard looks good.
Yeah.
That's another takeaway again yesterday. Like Pollard, I think, as long as he's healthy, going to be a pretty productive player for the Titans this year. And yes, I know he's running against backups too. So, you know, we'll see what it looks like when the regular season comes around. But you can kind of see the vision that he's got with the ball in his hands. It's cool. It's good to see.
I do. That's another thing I kind of take from yesterday. It feels a little bit like he is running back one and Spears is running back two.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
I still think it's going to be relatively close to even, but I would probably say that Pollard's got the edge.
Look, Pollard has had some excellent seasons in Dallas, and obviously he was sort of in the transition away from Zeke. And this last year, he's coming off that surgery.
Yeah.
And then he looks now and in camp and yesterday like the Tony Pollard we saw at his best in Dallas, and that's a good running back.
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, live from New Orleans. Corey, how we doing? Did you escape the shuttle? What's going on?
Well, after I escaped the shuttle, I had to wrangle my way through TSA. So it was straight out of She's Out of Your League with the harassment through the line. My laptop had to go through twice because I'm an international threat.
Oh, full body search? You all right? No, okay, no violations of you?
I requested the cavity search, but they declined.
Oh, good. That's good. Good to see you still with us here on the program. So, Corey, we've thrown the question out there. The Titans offense in the actual preseason games in which they participated, so San Francisco and New Orleans yesterday, have looked pretty good. Now, they've also played against backups. They've scored on every drive. Now, they've played against backups, and they can't control who they're playing against in those games. But what does it all mean? Are there any grand takeaways you have from the offense based on what we've seen from them in game action to this point? Or are you hesitant to have any grand takeaways just because it is the preseason and they're not playing against starters?
Well, I mean, we all know it's the preseason, so you can't just go run and say, well, they're going to score on every drive of the season. But you can take away the fact that I don't know if they got called for a penalty. I mean, they were pretty clean. I thought the offensive line was more cohesive yesterday than I've seen them in years. And so I think that there's a lot that's promising there. And largely, we've seen Will Levis willing to take the easy throw. You know, the only complete incompletion he threw yesterday was one where he went for it, and he probably should have just checked down for the first down. But, you know, so is there evolving into a new way of playing? You know, they're learning, and, you know, they're still making plays, enough plays to put points on the board. And so, you know, I think it's all very, very promising. But, you know, when different guys are on the field, it gets harder. I mean, that's going to be obvious. But, I mean, what would we be saying if they couldn't score against the second teamers?
Exactly. It'd be a big problem, no doubt about it.
How about T'Vondre Sweat, Corey? Just a little glimpse, but that was kind of what I thought we might see the first preseason game. Is, you know, he could be a problem for people.
Yeah, we have three really explosive snaps. He blew up the very first run play, took out another run play, and then showed some of the pass rush ability that we've seen in camp.
Yep.
You know, I know fans were disappointed after the first game because they wanted to see what we've been talking about. Well, what you saw there was pretty much exactly, you know, what we've been talking about, and that he's going to be a problem for people. At least he certainly looks like he's going to be a problem for people. And by the way, I know it's not Stephon Diggs, but Jalen Harrell was a problem all night long. I mean, and that was with Trevor Penning as well. You know, I don't think Trevor Penning's very good, but he was a problem for Trevor Penning, and then the backup had nothing for him.
Yeah, a really good point there. But, you know, back on the offensive side, Pollard, we were talking about Pollard Spears right before you got on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see the way that thing breaks down. Pollard looks really good to me. I mean, Pollard,
yes,
through the preseason, I think if you're a Titans fan looking at what you've got in the running game, and I know everybody obviously is, you know, it's a new era with Derrick Henry gone. It's going to be a different way that they attack the running game this year. But Tony Pollard, I think, looks really, really good throughout the preseason.
Well, he certainly looks like his explosiveness is back. I mean, I remember when he came up with the Cowboys, I was like, this guy's better than Zeke right now. I mean, he's just faster and just more explosive. And that you're right. That part of his game looks back. You know, that was, to me, the most surprising signing of the offseason for the Titans. Not that they signed a running back, but that they invested so heavily in one, the way you heard Rand Carthon, you know, ooze about Tajay Spears and how much he liked Tajay Spears. I mean, Tajay's still going to be a big part of this, but if last night's any indication, you know, Pollard's the clear number one, and it looked really good. And, you know, he's a former wide receiver, and he just looks so smooth, so easy catching the football.
Well, they can do it tight end, Corey, because DMR keeps showing up, but they start right out with the Nick Vinette package, and you're like, oh, okay, let's not forget about this guy. Are they keeping four?
Well, yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, you know, after having the Seahawks in town – and then having him play them after playing the 49ers and now last night against the Saints, there's no way you sneak that guy through to the practice squad. Somebody's going to scoop him up, and I don't think they want to lose him. I would bet the mortgage that he makes the football team because I think he's got more value to them than a seventh wide receiver would.
So what about the Malik part of this? You know, Mason Rudolph comes in yesterday again and plays really well, and I think Rudolph's looked good throughout the preseason. Malik, I mean, you know, you can make an argument. He had maybe his best day as a Titan in a game yesterday with some of the throws and plays that he made. So where do you think Malik Willis is? Do you think the Titans are keeping three quarterbacks? How do you view that decision coming up in the next couple of days for Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon?
It's a really interesting question because, you know, we've seen so much growth from him this year as compared to the first 2 years. And that connection with Bryce Oliver and him was real. I mean, those two guys – there was no question where that football was going on that game being passed. I mean, he is looking for number 80, and those two guys, you know, made it happen. You know, I think, you know, if their plan was to just sneak him through to the practice squad, maybe it got tougher, you know, and so they've got to think about that. And then, you know, this to me isn't so much a question for this year, it's a question for next year. You know, is he our number two next season? That's what they've got to ask themselves. And if you think he's your number two next season, then you keep him. But if you're just like, you know, we'll have Mason this year and we'll figure out next year, then you risk it. And, you know, I think it's going to be tough to keep three. You know, this is not a bet I would like to make. But right now I would bet they just keep two.
Yeah. I've been kind of in the camp of they're gonna keep three, but then you start breaking down. Okay, but that means at this spot, or that means at this spot.
Yeah,
I'm really intrigued by
who never plays.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by the view around the rest of the league of Malik Willis to the point where someone would be like, "Yes, I'm signing him to our active roster." But then again, if it's just one or two, there are some rough backup QB situations out there, and it, like, you know, those. Couple plays yesterday, you could talk yourself into it if you're another GM. Like, see, there's something there. That's going to be really interesting.
So in our production meeting 2 weeks ago before the Seahawks game, I asked Brian Callie, whatever you want to call him, about Malik and how did he come into this without a bias about Malik after what we've seen the first 2 years. You know, because it would be easy to say, yeah, I saw him play. I saw him complete 5 passes against Houston. And he said, well, it was easy because I remember him coming out of the draft, and you could see the talent. And so I was intrigued by the talent and what we could bring out when we came here. And, you know, you've seen the development under this coaching staff with him. I mean, that the second touchdown pass, you know, he was patient in the pocket. It wasn't him holding on to the football. It was him feeling the rush around him and not freaking out. And that was really good. And then he put it. Then he put it on him.
This is the best play as a Titan. His best play as a Titan, right there.
It was good. It was really good. And you know, so you love to see that for him. And you know, and I know Cali really likes his arm talent. You know, as well. I mean, he could throw it. I mean, you remember the out he threw to Bryce in the first preseason game that got called back by the penalty?
Yeah,
it was like a 20. I mean, that was a big time throw. And so this is my long answer of saying, you know, Cali was intrigued by his talent. There's going to be somebody else intrigued by his talent. But is it enough to be there too or to take a roster spot? You know, that's what we'll wait and we'll see. But there will definitely be people intrigued by his talent.
What time was the wake-up call this morning, Corey?
4:30.
That's early.
Yeah,
that's what we do every day, bro.
That is true.
We're crying for Corey.
We're all parents here.
Did you get some good? Did you get some good? You know, some good food and drink in New Orleans.
You know, when I just don't go out that much, guys. We went to Walk-On's Bistro last night. It's a chain sports bar out of Baton Rouge.
Okay, dude. There's like 1,000 amazing places to eat within like 2 blocks.
Yeah, and you know what? I found one within 1 block. I had some Boom Boom Shrimp Tacos, which were wonderful. And I went back to my room, and I sat in solitude for 2 hours, which is something I don't get to do a lot.
That's true.
I appreciate that.
What a veteran. I like it. Corey, have a safe flight. We appreciate so much you making time for us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. The regular season almost here.
Well, I appreciate you guys floating with my travel adventures here. So thank you.
Of course. Hope you have a great flight.
I gotta go check in for my cavity search.
Thank you.
Hey, use that probe a little more firmly. Come on.
See you, Corey. TSA pre-check meant something else.
Oh man. Good gracious. Thank you, Corey.
Bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest. Currently not on a no-fly list. We'll see if that continues.
That's good. Yeah, he might get there soon. Depending on what we say on the radio.
More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Cheered from Spring Hill saying, Corey would go to Rome and get Sbarro.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Corey, I mean, if you're in New Orleans, come on, dude. You gotta. Also, Jared from Spring Hill asked me if I'm still angry at PK because of his rant on my rant. And I, you know, I made a joke, like, yeah, I'm all caps, like I'm still mad. He says, just know PK is offended because he's that parent you ranted about. I got insider info on that through his kids' baseball outings. That actually makes sense. Mm. I was talking about the parents, you know, your kid's not as good as you think, shut up, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that is the thing that actually hit home with him, you know?
He's what are you talking about?
One of those crazy parents out there?
I mean, can you see it? I mean, come on.
Maybe so. Maybe onto something there.
Texter says,
we'll
not
have to ask him.
Yeah, well, we will. We'll get to it this week. It's not near enough talk about the Nolensville High opener Friday. Hashtag wow. Big win. Big win. Nolensville over Rockvale. Great game. Congrats, Rockvale. Good team. Good win for the Knights. United. Fridays for Knights.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And look, I'll do some segments on it if you want. Okay.
Sure.
But no, we're happy to be 1-0. Moving on. 1-0. You're trying to go 1-0 every week.
That's true. I heard that from a former Tennessee coach.
That's right. Which was that a Butch one? Is that a Butch?
Yeah.
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 Is that a?
That's a big Butch one.
That's a big Butch one. Yeah. Yeah.
Butch had a lot of things he said.
He did. A lot of things that Dooley said, too, that are more interesting. But
He just sucked. There was that. The Malik Willis part of this, look, he played well yesterday. We talked about Rudolph earlier. Rudolph has come in the games and has looked really good. I mean, he was 11 of 15 yesterday, 114 yards, quarterback rating of 94.9. And Willis coming in, he only threw four passes yesterday, was 3 of 4, 51 yards, two touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 156.2. So pretty good stuff from Malik there. And look, the first touchdown pass that he threw to Bryce Oliver, good ball, good catch by Bryce Oliver. And the second one, it's a clutch situation where you're sidestepping the rush, you're throwing a laser, and just a good play by Malik Willis. Look, he's still clearly QB3. Mason Rudolph is the backup quarterback for this team. I think the question is, are they going to keep three? And my take on it is kind of this. I think it's really good that Malik Willis has clearly made progress. There's no doubt about it. He has made progress. He's a better player now than he was a year ago. And you can make the argument probably a significantly better player now than he was a year ago. To me, I'm just with other roster decisions they've got. If I'm the Titans and if I'm Carthon and Callahan, I'm not keeping him. I'm not keeping three quarterbacks. And I still think there's a decent shot he could slide and be on your practice squad. I'm not totally convinced that somebody else is just going to snatch him up and that they're going to put him on the active roster. But I think whether it's the tight end position where you've got four guys there that I think you could potentially keep, what are they going to do at wide receiver? Like, is Kyaris Jackson shown them enough where they're keeping him in the return game, the corner spot? Like, I think you've got too many other spots that are going to affect you on game day that you've got to worry about to be keeping three and having three quarterbacks on the 53. That's me. People may disagree with that, and that's fine, but that's my take on the Malik stuff. It's really good that he's made progress. I'm not keeping three quarterbacks if I'm the Titans, and I understand what Corey's saying about, well, if he's made enough progress, and we've talked about this, if he's made enough progress where you feel like Malik Willis could be your backup quarterback next year, that would be great, but I don't think you could make a decision on this year's roster for a guy who could be your backup next year. That's just me.
Yeah, I think once you get into the nitty-gritty of some of these positions, that's probably going to be difficult for them. Again, I've been kind of in the camp of keep him as a third. It's a good I definitely like the idea of one of those other guys gets hurt and you've got someone who's been in this offense and now you don't have to go out and pick someone up off the street if you get into that situation. And there's the future situation. But I hear what you're saying because you've got some tough decisions. It's going to be really interesting. I think some of it is, like, if you really believe, like Corey was saying, you know, next year, but also what do you think the ceiling is if you're them?
Right.
Because if you think it's pretty high, then yeah, like, he could be your long-term QB2. And that's not a bad thing to have. It's not a bad thing to have in this league, like, some certainty at QB2. And again, I'm saying this as if we know QB1 is going to be
right
long term. But that's the thing. Even if Levis doesn't work out, you could have Willis in place and just bring in your next starter. Yeah, like, is he going to keep improving? Or is it sort of like, okay, he's come to this point and that's kind of what he is? It's a really interesting situation. I guess I say I'd keep him, but I say that without digging in on – I somehow got away this preseason without doing a 53, which is a beautiful
thing. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. But without digging in on, okay, no, you cannot cut that guy, right? That's kind of what it is.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, part of my reason for not keeping me is because I don't believe somebody's going to take him. I would be surprised – if he ends up on somebody else's active roster.
There's some pretty stank QB2s there out there, buddy.
I would be surprised if he ends up on somebody else's roster.
I would not bet on someone taking him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet against it, though, either. Like, I just because, like, it's just if that one team, it's like, oh, yeah, we are destitute. But, yeah, usually the correct answer is this is one of the non-stupid things Pekarski said Friday. You know, usually he said a few non-stupid things.
That's good.
Usually, everybody's like, oh, we're going to lose this guy, lose that guy. And it's like, these teams have.
It doesn't really play out that way.
Yeah, yeah. It really takes. Now, I will say, like a DMR, there's someone who I think could be at risk of being scooped up if you were to expose them. Because the thing is, you could also gamble with somebody else in this situation that you're close on and keep Malik and then gamble on somebody else and you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, like Jared's texted me and says, who's so important that you can't keep Malik and utilize the third QB rule? Game day, you only get 48, and he's not going to be one of them. Right, but if you're keeping the 48, you got to be on the 53. So, like,
yes.
There's
you still have to be on the 53. You have to be on the 53. Does Jared not know that yet?
So there's Kyaris Jackson. What are you doing with him? Jaquan Jackson, I think, clearly is going to be your punt returner at this point, so he's making the team. So are you keeping 6 or 7 wide receivers? If you're keeping 4 tight ends, like Corey thinks you are, you're keeping 6 corners, like it starts to add up after a while. So I don't think it's just as cut and dry as, well, you can keep him on the 53 and he's not a part of your active 48. Like, you've got to make some other decisions elsewhere with your roster. So, I'm not going to say, like, the Titans are not keeping Malik Willis. I'm just saying I think it's a much tougher decision.
It's close.
Some people think
it's very interesting. Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, he showed well for himself in the preseason. So maybe that is enough where they keep him on the 53. He's not elevated on game day. And you make other decisions elsewhere. But I think I'm going to make a prediction. I think he gets cut.
I'll go ahead and we'll just bet on it. Can we bet on an extra slice of the pizza that Nick owes us that he still hasn't bought?
Yeah, I think so. That?
All right, we'll bet a slice of pizza. I say they keep
him. So he's on him? Yep. All right, I'm saying he gets cut. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans, including T'Vondre Sweat yesterday making a few eye-popping plays. We'll get into that more on the defensive side of the ball next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.